Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Greece, and welcome to the CEO Show. We're here today with Bill McNabb. How are you, Bill?
I'm great, Robert. Great to be here.
And Bill was for a decade the CEO of Vanguard, and now he's really focused on leadership and helping emerging and current leaders, as new books coming out as well. Let's start with Vanguard. So, you know, it's like 2 weeks before Lehman Brothers debacle starts. That's when you took over the ship. Talk about what it was like then and the challenges that you faced.
Well, you know, it was interesting. I was on stage, my first time as Vanguard CEO in front of our big 401k clients, talking about the need to stay balanced, focused on the long term, and calm through choppy waters. And I have a soundtrack going through my head while I'm doing this. The world is ending as we know it. The world is ending as we know it. So it was quite an introduction. But, you know, we as a group, you know, the great thing about Vanguard was we had been through a lot of, I'll call them mini crises, whether it was the crash of 87, you know, the currency debacle in 94, the hedge fund issues in 98, you know, that brought down Russia, tech wreck. So there had been a lot of contingency work done. So when things really went south in 2008, from an operational standpoint, we were actually pretty well positioned, and our team really responded incredibly well. The interesting thing, though, was as we were going through it, it became really clear that this was unlike anything we'd seen before and that the consequences were going to be pretty significant. And our board, which was incredibly supportive, really encouraged us to think aggressively about, you know, how are we going to operate during the crisis, but how are we going to emerge from it with a different, you know, there was going to be a different regulatory landscape. There was likely to be a different competitive landscape. And even business models were shifting. And, you know, that encouragement really took root with our team, and we ended up going sort of off-site 6 months into the crisis and doing a deep dive on how do we take the great strengths of Vanguard and think about the next decade. And there were some pretty significant pivots that came out of that. You know, one was we embraced ETFs, which we had really experimented with but really hadn't done much. That took us into the advisor business in a much more robust way, starting with independent advisors, but then, you know, broker-dealer sponsored advisors and so forth. We decided we needed to be much more global. That had huge implications organizationally. And very importantly, we decided that we were going to need a different view on talent going forward. And so we got very aggressive in terms of thinking about what's the next generation of leadership need to look like and how can we actually develop those people in a way that makes them ready, you know, for what was a very uncertain future.
Going through that, you must have learned some significant lessons on risk taking and risk management.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. During a crisis, one of the things that really hit us hard was the need to make decisions fast without necessarily all the information. And I actually think, Robert, speed was key at the height of the crisis, and you didn't always get it right. And it was very uncomfortable. You know, we're a very data-driven group, and we like to collaborate, and we like to debate ideas. We had to create structures that allowed us to make decisions very quickly. And so by definition, you know, you're taking risk when you do that. But the risk of standing still and not responding to the marketplace during that period was, I think, greater. So that was one big takeaway from this. You know, I think in terms of, you know, lessons we learned about risk more broadly, being really clear with our board about how we wanted to allocate capital in the future to, in a sense, reflect our strategy. And again, there's risk in doing, you know, anytime you make big capital allocations, you know, when we expanded our global footprint, you know, if it doesn't work, that's a lot of money you just poured down the drain. But having a really good framework for assessing appropriate timeframes, appropriate metrics so you could see progress. This was something that we really, I would say discovered as we worked with our board through this.
I want to interrupt you right there. So let's go into what metrics did you come up with your board? What was the role the board played, and how did you know that those were the right metrics?
Yeah, so it's interesting. We had had a very extensive, traditional balanced scorecard. And actually, the challenge to that came, and it was useful, and it was, and it was sort of an iterative process that we went through with the board. But what was really interesting is as we sort of described what we thought the future was going to look like and where we were going to go, was actually one of our young aspiring leaders raised his hand and said, I get the direction, but how will we know if we're successful? And, we rolled out our scorecards and stuff. He's like, that's not clear. Like, and what that did is it actually took us back to real fundamentals, and we had four basic metrics. And this really shocks people, that you can boil Vanguard down to four metrics. And interestingly, two of them were what you would consider traditional for an investment firm. One was investment performance over 10 years versus competition. So how do our funds match up? And, our basic premise, and this goes back to the founding by Jack Bogle, if our funds don't beat the competition over long periods of time, we don't have a right to be in business. And this was something Jack felt very strongly about. The other sort of traditional metric was what's the cost of providing our investment solutions to the investor, because we were owned by the investors. So that cost, in a sense, was a reflection of the value that we were providing by our structure. It's in the parallel would be a P&L for a traditional company. The other two metrics, though, were really interesting. One was client loyalty, and the other was employee engagement. So in a sense, two softer metrics and two hard-edged financial metrics. And again, done over a very long period of time. And our board, I won't say they drove it. This actually came up more from the bottom of the organization saying, give us clarity about what success looks like. But then the board was very engaged in, yeah, that makes sense. Like, you want to develop great people. You want your clients to be here forever. Your fund's got to outperform. And oh, by the way, we better do it at an ever decreasing price. And that became, that's the story. And if you go back and you read Bogle's early speeches, those were the things he talked about. And in a sense, all we were doing was quantifying it and scaling it.
That's quite an amazing experience to go through. And you probably feel like when you arrive, I made it through this enormous risk. So I want to ask you, how about personal risks? What was a personal risk you went through in your life, and what did you learn from that?
Yeah, so this one goes way back to when I was in high school. So I shudder to actually tell it on a live audience, but I once had to do this in front of an audience with Simon Sinek, the great writer. So I guess I'll do it again. And when I was 17, I was not doing as well academically as I had for my first 11 years in school. And my father came to me and said, something's got to give here, and would you consider going away to boarding school? And my parents weren't wealthy, and so this was a big deal for them to even put the offer on the table. And I'm thinking, I'm going to be a senior, I'm going to probably be captain of the basketball team, and who knows what else, and I'm going to leave all that to go to boarding school. And my dad convinced me to think about it sort of in a lifetime value kind of framework, if you will, and I did it. And, everything flowed from that decision, Robert. And it felt very risky at the time. I guess when I look back on it, it was probably riskier not to have done it. But at the time, it felt like I'm giving everything up to go to this unknown boarding school. But I ended up getting into Dartmouth because of that. And then, everything good that's happened in my life really flowed from that decision. So what I learned from it was you have to be willing to give things up that really are painful in the short run if you want long-term success. And that actually kind of became a philosophy and a mantra that drove me in athletics, drove me academically, drove me, professionally.
Let's go more into leadership. So you have a philosophy of, you went to Dartmouth, you want to get the smartest people in the organization.
My own thinking evolved over time. You know, I think historically, when I first started hiring people from the outside, you know, I took a pretty traditional view, which is look at, you know, where did they go to school? How did they perform? You know, what did they major in? Was it relevant? And it didn't have to be an Ivy League school. Actually, at Vanguard, we hired a lot from the local Philly area, whether it was St. Joe's, Villanova, Drexel, Penn State. But we always look for great academic achievement. You know, the interesting thing is we missed a lot of people because of that. And we also, I think, probably didn't take into account what the most important factors are for success that we sort of measured over time.
We are about to take a break. When we come back with Bill McNabb, we're going to talk about the whole concept of a vanguard and from a brand positioning, how it works in a very competitive landscape. Back in a few.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Oh, whale! Nice whale! Wow, whale.
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay. Whale, whale, whale. Oh, no, whale!
The tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
Well, at least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD Family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Bill McNabb, the former decade-long CEO chairman of Vanguard, and we're talking about all the risk-taking and about leadership, really. But now I want to position, you know, when I had interviewed Jack originally, is, by the way, one of the most amazing guys. He comes up after 80 years old, takes the train up to New York City just to visit me, not chauffeured. He does it the old-fashioned way, and he always told me, he said, the key is if we want to improve America, get everyone to read the Constitution, Declaration of Independence. So you had a terrific mentor there, but he positioned Vanguard in a different way than any other organization, and there you were taking it by the helm, and you even talked about what that was like during the 2008 debacle.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that really became clear, Robert, was Jack Bogle's original mission, and you know, his successor Jack Brennan had also contributed so much to our culture, that the points that those two had made, and which were very impactful to me early in my career, were, you know, one, the client always comes first, and you know, being out front with clients during the crisis was actually something that we did really aggressively. You know, if you go back and you replay the tapes from that era, you don't see many of our competitors out actually talking to the press, doing television, and so forth. And we weren't doing it to be self-aggrandizing. You know, we were doing it to be clear to investors what our views were, because we felt that that would actually help people stay calm and make better long-term decisions. And, you know, I look back on, you know, Jack Bogle's maniacal focus on do the right thing for clients as, you know, a huge guidepost there. You know, the other key principle that, you know, I think really helped us and really established the brand from an employee standpoint was Jack Brennan had this great phrase, we want to have Wall Street smarts, but with Midwestern values. And, you know, we tried to go do that. We tried to appeal to those kind of people who wanted to come work for us and build our team that way. But, you know, interestingly, the client focus and that incredible passion around our internal culture, I actually think during the crisis, those things became clearer to us how important they were. And as we sort of moved forward, everything we did really had to reflect those beliefs.
And you had to slightly change the brand because of the financial turmoil. Talk about what you did in your tenure of elevating the Vanguard brand.
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing, so it was, you know, we had tremendous trust among our investors, but there were a lot of new areas that we had not ventured into. Working with financial advisors is one, for example, and using ETFs. And again, our founder, Jack Bogle, had been pretty outspoken about ETFs maybe not being a great product because he felt like they had been initially used as a trading vehicle as opposed to a long-term investment vehicle. Part of what we had to do is we had to actually say, no, ETFs don't have to be a trading vehicle. They can actually be part of a long-term portfolio. And we have a way of doing, you know, we have a way of doing ETFs that we thought was superior to anybody in the industry. And so we had to actually position ourselves as a leading ETF provider, but with a long-term view as opposed to a short-term view. And, you know, that was a pretty heavy lift for our marketing team and our client teams, but, you know, they performed brilliantly there in terms of just telling the story over and over. And, you know, even Jack over time came to say, you know, yeah, you're right. If we do this right, that ETFs can be a great solution for people. But they, as long as people aren't trading them every 5 minutes, you know, I think he ended up being pretty happy about it. And from a a brand standpoint, it really expanded our reach. And you know, Robert, that was a lot of it. We wanted to change the way people invest broadly and, you know, to ignore 70% of the market, which is essentially the percentage of the market that's served by advisors. We were leaving out a huge swath of people. And this was a really important initiative for us.
I commend you on taking that tough step. What advice do you have based on that to CEOs as they're looking to reposition their brand? And I ask this right now, we're exiting from a pandemic. We hope for good. But what every CEO I speak with every day, they're all planning new strategies. And they're saying now is a new window of opportunity. How should they be looking at this?
Yeah, so, you know, for us, one of the key things we did was we tried to be a little bit more articulate about our core purpose. And I know this sounds really basic. Every company's got a mission statement, and we had a very long mission statement, actually, with a lot of adverbs and adjectives. We actually simplified it down to, you know, we exist to take a stand for investors, treat them fairly, and give them the best chance for investment success. And I would underscore that last part of the phrase, best chance for investment success. And what that did for us is that actually expanded in our minds what we could do. You know, because it basically, somebody would come in with a new idea, ETFs, and they'd say, if we do this right, we're giving investors a better chance for investment success. When we made the decision to get into advice in a big way, the pitch was from the team. If we do this right, we will improve people's ability to be successful as investors, and we will improve it dramatically. So my advice to CEOs is to be very focused on understanding that purpose. And I know it sounds really basic, but when I read mission statements, a lot of them are pretty loose.
What lessons, you're an avid leadership teacher, what lessons can CEOs learn from rowing?
You know, so I was very lucky. I walked onto the rowing team in college. You know, I went thinking I was going to play basketball. The coaches maybe thought differently. So I tried something new, and I fell in love with the sport. And the thing I loved about it the most was it is the purest experience I've ever seen of a high-performing team functioning well. And, you know, we had eight guys plus our coxswain, all hyper-competitive people, you know, really driven, you know, for personal success. But you had to set all that aside in order for the boat to go fast. And, you know, for me, it became a great analogy for the business world in that, you know, we would attract incredibly capable, competent, and competitive people to Vanguard. But what had to be clear was the institution, i.e., and therefore our clients, came first. And so everything we did had to move that boat, if you will, forward. And the personal stuff would all, you know, that would all follow. But it was that ability to sublimate your ego to the greater good of the organization, and in a sense, be competitive for the organization, not for yourself. And, you know, when I think about, you know, my teammates on the rowing team, that's what we were all really good at. Like, we wanted the boat to go fast. And, you know, we all had our own personal ambitions with the sport and, you know, how we tested physiologically and so forth. And we would beat each other's brains out in the weight room or running stadium steps or whatever. But when it came time to race, it was all about how fast the boat go. And it's a very different sport that way where, you know, one guy just can't take over. And, you know, it's been interesting for me. That analogy has really driven so much of what we've done at Vanguard. And, you know, frankly, what I see in some of the other organizations I'm involved in that are really successful, they get this high-performing team concept.
On that inspirational note, Bill, a pleasure having you on the CEO show.
Blue Star Medicated Ointment gets 5-star reviews from our loyal users for fast relief of the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
Blue Star soothes insect bites and fungal infections.
It really works on the summer rashes I get every year.
I had psoriasis on my elbows. Blue Star worked wonders.
Amazing stuff. Smear a bit on and the itch is gone.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Hi, I'm Robert Greese, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Ravi Saligram. How are you, Ravi?
I'm doing great, Robert. Thank you very much.
Ravi has been Fortune 500 CEO times before, including the Office Max merger, And right now he is the CEO of Newell Brands, which is to me really an incredible company, has about 25 prominent brands. Talk about who the brands are.
With pleasure, Robert. I love my brands, and we have iconic brands such as Rubbermaid, Sharpie, Coleman Tints, 120th anniversary of Coleman, Parker, Waterman, Papermate, you name it, we have it. Elmer's, it is just a, we have eight business units, even the fire alarms in your house, First Alert, Marmot jackets, which are used for skiing. So we're really, if you look in your household, and then of course, one of my favorites, and I know your favorite, Yankee Candle.
Absolutely. And as you could probably, you may not know if you're listening on radio, but right there is a special customized Yankee Candle of my daughter Molly, because they make custom, and this has saved me through the whole pandemic, because the second you light the candle, the look and the smell just relaxes you, and that's what we CEOs need. So what I want to ask you is how your leadership philosophy has really evolved through all these years, and what would you say is the core of your leadership philosophy, which has tremendous success in every segment.
Well, you're very kind. It is definitely an evolution, Robert, and leadership is never static. You learn, you listen, you improve, you keep getting better at it. It is not something you're just sort of born with. You have to hone those skills, and various situations help you build on that. And having said that, so in many ways, leadership is contextual, situational. Having said that, I do have a certain set of philosophies. The starting philosophy for me is people first. I am a big believer that people are the greatest asset of any company. I know that sounds like a hackneyed phrase, but you've got to truly believe it, because if you can unleash the power and potential of your people, miracles can happen. Secondly, I'd say as a leader, you have to be a great team builder. That means surrounding yourself with people who actually complement your weaknesses. You don't want people who are exactly like you. They need to be different. They need to bring skill sets that are better than yours. They've got to be smarter than you. And then the whole has to be greater than the sum of the parts. So there is no place for ego. A great leader is one who's a great talent magnet, who attracts people. Because what you're trying to do is all about adding value. And when you surround yourself with the sharpest minds, with big hearts, you can achieve a lot of things.
And one great philosophy you have is on what's called noble purpose. Talk about how that works in an organization where you have so many brands.
Way back when, Robert, I remember learning about, I think, a journalist going into NASA. This was during the Kennedy era, and when they were trying to put a man on the moon. And I think the journalist asked the janitor, "Hey, what is your job?" And expected something like, "I clean floors," or something like that. Instead, the janitor says, "Hey, it is to put the man on the moon." That, to me, is an incredible job of leadership, which aligned all the way from the top to the very bottom, to say we're all aligned against a great purpose, which is to put the man on the moon. So every organization I've led, I've tried to find what is our man on the moon mean. So when we were at OfficeMax, when I took it over, the company was not in the best of states. Employee pride had come down quite a bit because there wasn't a lot of traffic in the stores. When I started going around the stores, people were sullen and not very happy. And over the course of time, what we found was, hey, we had to drive consumers in, but we needed employees to have pride. So what we thought about is, how do you really create something where instead of selling paper and stuff, we said, we're about small business solutions. And if you can make businesses grow, you can make America grow. That aligned the company and the organization against that noble purpose. At Newell, we're all about brands that create joyous moments and peace of mind. So I think that is A noble purpose is a tie that binds and galvanizes employees to give their very best to the company.
And when you talk about that type of growth, I remember back in something like 1994, I was always reading a business book a week, and I was reading about Rubbermaid and the prominence, the best company to work for in the whole world. How are you going to bring this noble purpose back into an iconic brand like Rubbermaid?
We've taken a lot of lessons. In fact, we've created a whole initiative called Project 1994, which is to go back to those days when Rubbermaid was Fortune's number one most admired company. And the thing about that was we were considered one of the most innovative companies in the world. We would put out one innovation a day. And that is the spirit we are now trying to infuse back in Newell. We have a lot more brands in addition to Rubbermaid. So how do we really, for that, it's all about being obsessed with delighting the consumer. And if you're obsessed with delighting the consumer, you understand them. You predict where they're going. You become very good at social media. You have social listening. You look at the trends and then say, how do you leapfrog the competition to come out with great innovations? And for that, we've always said, look, our job, especially with consumer products and durables, moments of joy, that when they're spending the money, whether it is a mother pushing in a Graco stroller and the kid looks up. We've created these new strollers that come up high where the mother can see the baby. That's a moment of joy. Yankee Candle providing serenity when you light the candle. So that is what we're, the heart of our company now is all about innovation.
And how does this tie in with so many brands? You have 25 iconic brands where you align all the companies because you're really going through a whole, you're going through a transformation in a sense. How do you bring all the brands along with that philosophy? Or do you separate?
The way we've organized that in the company is we've created 8 business units and they're discrete, but we have CEOs for each business unit. But the CEOs, we've said, focus on the front, which means really consumers and customers. But we unify on the back, things like supply chain, things like financial functions, IT systems, so that you have unity on the back end that leverages scale. But on the front end, you want to create distinction. And for that, our CEOs and their teams, they need to have domain expertise because running the camping business is very different from running our sanitizer business in our commercial side. So you need to have expertise, a keen understanding. But at the same time, you need to unify in other places, like some of our top customers are Walmart and Target and Amazon. So we have a chief customer officer. So even though we go to the customer with different merchants on different businesses, our chief customer officer becomes one voice that unifies all these brands and businesses to the customer so that there is one Newell going forward to some of our larger customers. So it's really about unity amidst diversity.
And how do you do that in the digital world when everything is omni-channel? And the stakes are super high.
The consumer has many choices today. And they start searching online, getting themselves educated, research online. That might be on Google. It may be on Amazon. But their journey goes on. They may buy at store. And with the pandemic now, they could pick up buy online, pick up at curbside. Buy online, get it shipped to the house. So they've got various methods of buying and researching, which means that good brands really create an omni-channel experience. No matter which channel they shop, you have to have a 360-degree view of the consumer journey. You need to understand how do they shop. What is that consumer journey? And make sure your brand experiences are brilliant at every stage. You cannot have sort of, hey, I'll give a brilliant brick-and-mortar experience but a poor online experience or vice versa. The brand needs to be consistent in how it comes across to the consumer, which means even though you may be marketing to millions of consumers, you've got to think about each consumer individually personalizing it and saying, how do I come across this? So this is, omnichannel is really going to be Newell's competitive advantage, because today, Robert, we're already selling 21% of our global sales. We're about, you know, getting close to a $10 billion company. 21% of our global sales are online. But we take the online strength, and with that, we are building whole sets of omnichannel capabilities.
On that note, we're about to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with Ravi about challenges and how you overcome personal business challenges.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight. At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you?
I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're back with Robbie Salagram, the CEO of Newell Brands. And you've gone through several Fortune 500 companies. You're running one of the most iconic companies right now with 25 major brands. You've this built-in leadership philosophy that I know you for a while that I know about. Talk about a challenge that you had and how you face that challenge, and how that helped shape your leadership philosophy.
So I think we've got to go back about 30 years, Robert. I was 32 years old and just got promoted to be the president and general manager of S.C. Johnson Korea. I'd never run a subsidiary before, never run a company. Now, this was a small subsidiary, but still, nevertheless, it was a company unto itself. And all I knew about this was in Korea. South Korea in Seoul, and all I knew about Korea, I was in Racine, Wisconsin, shipped over, all I knew about Korea was MASH. And so I go there without any preconceived notions, but I really want to run a company. And the thing is, my predecessor had been a bit autocratic and had been taken out, and the people were restless. It was not stable. The company was technically bankrupt. There were a lot of issues. I start with the first thing the management team says is, hey, you're an expat. How long does Johnson plan to colonize Korea? And I said, hey, you just took out a local who was the president, and I will develop you, one of you, to really succeed if you have the right principles. But then a few days later, there's a factory explosion. And that is because of poor safety practices. And then we had one of our customers on our commercial business call me and say, there have been improprieties and we're going to cancel the account because your salespeople, business conduct was not great, etc. So at age 32, you don't get taught in business school how to deal with these situations. And here I am in a foreign country. I don't speak the language. Most of my team really speaks very little English. And so that started a four-year journey, and which really was about learning. I went from being a marketer to being a leader of people. And so I learned enough Korean to be able to communicate with my employees. I gave all my speeches in Korean because my accent was very good. So I'd get my assistant to do it phonetically, and then I'd give the speeches. So I was able to communicate with our people. I worked on the factory lines with our hourly workers. I drove in delivery trucks with our truck drivers and delivery men. And so all of this, and when we had the factory explosion, my team was more concerned about the police and the journalists. I said, no, we're going to go to the hospital to look at our employees and really take care of them and their families. So we really, it was all about showing heart. And then it was about not taking an American view. And instead, because I knew that Koreans were very proud, and it was about how do you instill, I kept talking about universal values, not about American values, and about integrity, saying, hey, we want you to sleep well at night. We don't do things which are bad conduct. So then we started the innovation front. So I'll give you a quick example on how we understood the Korean consumer in air fresheners. And instead of using American scents, we realized Koreans loved sense of nature like quince and potpourri and stuff like that. And so we localized while keeping the Glade brand name. All of this helped turn the company around, but we also created a purpose which said, look, S.E. Johnson Korea needs to become the best subsidiary in Asia, and that created a lot of pride for our employees. So we went through all of that. We revamped that factory, which was not safe. We put money. It became the safest factory in all of Seoul, got an award for safety. And in the 4 years, sales tripled, profits quadrupled. It became one of the most profitable subsidiaries. And most importantly, the company remained union-free in a very turbulent environment. And KBS TV named S.E. Johnson Korea as one of the three best foreign managed companies. And that is all because we were able to lift the employees, focus them. And that is a great learning experience for me, that it's not about just being, hey, a great marketer. It is about bringing the best out of your people. The best advice I got was when I did a 360 about myself, which was revolutionary, by the way, in Korea 33 years ago. My CFO said to me, Saligram, you only focus on the best athletes, the top performers. But remember, when you're running a company, there are a lot of average people in the company. Your job is to make those average people above average. And that struck a real chord in me that, hey, you're really about lifting up the whole company, not a few.
Brilliant story. Truly brilliant. So with that concept, what are a few practical, unique practices that you maybe use that other CEOs could use to elevate their culture so everyone average becomes brilliant and maximizes their potential?
It is very important for CEOs, for leaders, that there's different levels in the organization. And you need to be able to speak to each level in their language and make it meaningful for them. The most important reason why people work, you know, while, yeah, they want good compensation, good benefits, etc., at the end of the day, everyone wants to feel special. Everyone wants to feel they're making a difference, that they're just not a cog in the wheel, that they are actually part of something that's even greater than themselves, which therefore they put out their very best. Which is why I focus a lot on our frontline employees. In a manufacturing setting, we have 18,000 frontline employees. Gives me great joy to go and tour our factories and talk to our factory employees. During this pandemic, they have been our heroes. Celebrate your frontline and make sure you understand them, because the CEO can't be in the ivory tower. He's got to go out, or she's got to go out into the field. When I was in, I learned this also in the hotel business. When you have 10,000 employees, or 100,000 employees when I ran Airmark International, you need to make sure that whatever vision you have, you transmit it in words that make it meaningful to the lowest level employee, and that they can add to that vision becomes their mission and how it translates to their job. Don't give fancy faluting things like, oh, we need to double our shareholder value. For a frontline employee, that doesn't mean anything. But if you say, hey, we're all about moments of joy with these brands, make sure when you're on the line that you pay attention to quality and really make sure that you do your job, then you're really aligning and galvanizing your employees.
On that inspirational note, I want to thank you, Ravi. It's been wonderful having you on the CEO show.
Thank you so very much.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.